you have an Old Testament and want to follow along, we will be in Psalm 101 all morning. And you walked in, there was a display. I don't know if you saw it, but it had these cute little cards on it. They're important. They're important reminders of Friday and Sunday, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. This year, Good Friday is going to happen twice. It's going to happen either at noon for you or at 7 p.m. for you. Pick one. If driving in the evening is a problem, if you're going out of town, if you have to cook Friday night, and so 7 o'clock service doesn't work for you, the noon service is right for you, and it'll be a powerful service indeed. Noon and 7, we've done it partly because in the past, our 7 o'clock services have been overflowing, so we've doubled it. And then 3 services on Easter Sunday, 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock. And if I were you, I would not pick the middle one. I would go to 8:30 or 11 o'clock if you want to avoid parking problems and seating problems. But we also have these little cards, not just to remind you and put these on your refrigerator. Grab a bunch and invite people. Let's invite our coworkers or our neighbors, and just an easy reminder to say, here, we're doing a couple of things. We do have the signs out here, although the Thor wind of Friday blew the one sign down. I think it'll come back up. Okay, that's it. Psalm 101. It's about a king prioritizing his integrity and choosing to do it now. And my hope is, as we walk through this psalm, the king's priority for integrity now will become a charge to us too. I want you to just listen as I read Psalm 101. I will sing of faithful love and justice. I will sing praise to you, Lord. I will pay attention to the way of integrity. When will you come to me? I will live with a heart of integrity in my house. I will not let anything worthless come in front of my eyes. I hate the practice of transgression. It won't cling to me. A devious heart will be far from me. I will not be involved with evil. I will put to silence anyone who secretly slanders his neighbor. I cannot tolerate anyone with haughty eyes or an arrogant heart. My eyes favor the faithful of the land so that they may sit down with me. The one who follows the way of integrity may serve me. No one who acts deceitfully will live in my house or my palace. The one who tells lies will not be retained here to guide me. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked of the land, cutting out all evildoers from the Lord's city. The word of the Lord. Good to be back with you. You weren't here last Sunday. Sue and I were in California, enjoying a little bit of sunshine and a little bit of tennis. And one of the days we were in California, there's a little French restaurant, breakfast place that we like to go to, run by a French couple. And as I was waiting in line to order, there was this elderly gentleman from Manchester, England, and we struck up a conversation. His name was Jack. Jack was a good guy. Jack was a wise man. I ordered, went to find my table. Sue had found a table outside in the beautiful sunshine, and she and I sat there, and I thought my conversation with Jack was over. We talked about a number of things in line. It was a long line. But as he comes out, he has his tray of food, and he's looking for a table outside, and he can't find a table. Let's invite Jack. So Jack comes and sits with us. And we talk about children and grandchildren, and for him, great-grandchildren. We talk about family. We talk about, he's into birding now, and he showed us some of the pictures that he took, and he said this one took a lot of time to take. 2 hours. It was a a mother bird feeding the baby bird is a beautiful picture. He talked of his wife who passed away 11 years ago, and tears filled his eyes as he talked about his wife of 46 years. But as we talked, he said a phrase. He said, time happens. Whether it's with your great-grandchildren or your own life or family or having been now in the United States for 50 years, he still had his strong British accent, but time happens. He looks at me and he said, before you know it, it's past. Don't let it go. Be deliberate. We got to know each other pretty well in those 45 minutes. At one point, I ordered eggs over easy, and they make fresh baguettes right there. So I had to have a baguette. And I pretty much used the entire baguette to sop up my egg. It was fabulous. They garnish the eggs with salad. Thank you. At 8 o'clock in the morning is salad. So I'm eating my eggs and I'm sopping it up with my baguette. And it looks like I'm finishing up. And he said, you'll eat your greens, you know. Those are the best things, most healthy things on your plate. So like an obedient boy, I ate my greens. Sue started clearing the table, so she was over there. And he got back to the subject of time. And he said, time really happens, and you have to be deliberate about it. And then he says to me, make sure you tell Sue you love her today. Okay. Okay, Jack. I promise to look at time and be deliberate about my day today. I promise to live well today, even to tell Sue I love her. Time happens. Those words remind me of the words I just read from King David in Psalm 101. I will pay attention to the way of integrity. And the way it's written, all the commentaries would tell you, it's written with an urgency to do it now, presently. Every morning I will put to silence the evil now. Time happens. Today is today, and you're not going to get it back. Diligent. Embrace today. Do it well. Those words remind me of this from C.S. Lewis. That's my title. In his Screwtape Letters, Lewis writes in the voice of the devilish Screwtape, who is trying to get a follower of Jesus to ignore today and other kinds of unsavory things. He's trying to get this believer knocked off the path of faithfulness. Here's what he says. And remember, this is the voice of the enemy. And the enemy, Satan himself, in Lewis's writings, so the enemy in the quote behind me is the Lord, just so you know that. Humans live in time, but our enemy, meaning God, but our enemy destines them to eternity. He therefore, I believe, wants them to attend chiefly to two things, to eternity itself and to that point of time which they call the present. For the present is the point at which time touches eternity. Pay attention to the present. And it is the present where time touches eternity. That seems to me both quite practical and even a bit mystical. Pay attention to the present. Pay attention to now. Make wise choices today. know that your present decisions will have eternal effects and consequences. Attend to the present. It's so easy to live in the past. Lewis would say, the past is frozen. You can't change it. It's so easy to live in the future, to put off that good intention, to put off saying, I love you, to prioritize character and integrity. Put it off until a rainy day. Put it off until tomorrow. Future's not a good place to invest. You know that? You don't know what tomorrow holds. It's not wise to put your investments of intention and in character and integrity in something you're not even sure about. Today, now, the present. Reminds me of one more from Lewis in Screwtape Letters. We want the whole race perpetually in pursuit of the rainbow's end. Again, this is the evil one speaking. We want a whole race perpetually in pursuit of the rainbow's end, never honest, nor kind, nor happy now. Never honest now, never kind now, never happy now, but always using as mere fuel wherewith to heap the altar of the future every real gift which is offered them in the. I'll be happy tomorrow. I'll think about that tomorrow. I will be kind the day after tomorrow. Live well now. Choose integrity today. Today is that gift that is offered us in the present. Today is the gift where we ought to choose integrity. Today is the gift where we ought to love God and love our neighbor and live that way. Today is the day to do it right. Time touches eternity. Remember that in the first quote? Seize the day. And know that the day that you seize today for your own life and your own character will ripple into eternity. I just pondered that last phrase all week long. The present is at the point at which time touches eternity. To be real today, to be still in God's presence today, is to know the eternal presence, both present and present. Okay. Psalm 101 is David's vow to live well, starting today. This psalm is an expression of the king's desire for integrity. He writes the psalm for himself as a king, as a ruler, as a leader, to be God's man for the moment. But he also writes it not just for himself. He writes it for his associates and his influencers, for the people that will have impact on his life and his work and his kingdom. David wants it clean. He wants it clean in his private life. A leader without integrity is a cauldron of trouble for himself and for everybody that follows, whether it's a king or a pastor or a parent or a boss. David wants it clean in his private life, and he wants it clean in his public life. He wants an administration. He wants a palace that is clean, that is honest from the top down. Don't you? In your home? David wants his life and his kingdom to be aligned with God's values and God's character. And so he writes Psalm 101, that we might not only know the king's heart, but we might be able to reflect on our own as well. Martin Luther took these 8 verses of Psalm 101 and wrote an 80-page exposition of Psalm 101. There's a lot here. Here's what he calls Psalm 101, a mirror for the magistrates. A mirror. One of my favorite Old Testament scholars of today, he passed away recently, right? He was from Trinity Seminary, Willem van Gemeren, in the Expositor's Bible Commentary, calls Psalm 101 David's commitment to excellence. That's our goal today. You know, it's a core value here at Trinity, quiet excellence. And that doesn't just mean our office foyer here, which, by the way, I don't know if you've seen it, it's looking good. It doesn't just mean that, quiet excellence. It does mean that. It means the way we handle our money and the way we handle the scriptures and each other. The way we play music, quiet excellence is a value here. But it also is a value for the way we live our lives with character and integrity. Van Gemeren calls this psalm David's commitment to quiet excellence. So here's our goal today. To presently look in the mirror, which is Psalm 101. To presently look in this mirror and prioritize an excellence of integrity for our lives. Today, presently, I'll say it again. This is my goal for all of us who are sitting here this morning or watching. To presently look in this mirror, which is Psalm 101, and prioritize an excellence of integrity for our life today, not tomorrow, not 6 months from now. Prioritize an excellence of integrity today. Okay, here we go. And here's the key. It's the emphasis of the morning. David wants this pursuit today. Psalm 101 is a prioritizing of integrity in the present. As we walk through this psalm, may the mirror show us who we really are today. I don't know who you are. You can fake me out like nobody's business, and I can fake you out too. May Psalm 101 be a mirror for every one of us. Not only to show us who we are today, but to show us the kind of person we want to be, the kind of Christ follower, the kind of king, leader, parent, spouse, boss, and to pursue that now. Okay, here's the layout of Psalm 101. You can divide it right in half. Verses 1 through 4, it's just 8 verses. 1 through 4 is the personal life. Verses 5 through 8 is the public life. Verses 1 through 4 are about my heart and my own personal demeanor in my home. Verses 5 through 8 are about my associates and my public life. The word house appears in both halves, has double meaning. The first half, the word house means his house, the king's house. Verses 5 through 8, the word house means the king's palace, where he works. It's his private life, it's his public life. Okay, so the first part, we're going to look at presently spending time on my personal life. Let's just walk through it. The song of my personal life and the integrity of my personal life. I will sing, verse 1, I will sing of faithful love and justice. I will sing praise to you, Lord. The song of my personal life. You got to have music playing when you're dealing with your life, right? I love music. I think it drives these staff crazy, but there's always music blaring from my office. If I'm in a contemplative mood, it'll be contemplative music. It could be anything from Gregorian chants to piano solos. If I'm in more of an intense mood, if I'm not quite done with my sermon or other things, then it'll be a fast soundtrack or Beethoven's Fifth or The Mission by Ennio Morricone, something that's pushing me. And if I'm not studying and I don't need so much private time, I'm just doing emails or busy work, then you'll probably hear the Beatles coming up. Notice this, the song of my personal life. I will sing of faithful love and justice. We're talking about choosing integrity today. And notice David chooses to be a person of character. And he begins not with a list of rules. He begins with a song. And the song is in the character of God. His faithful love and his fair justice. As a king, as a leader, seeing the accurate character of God, his faithful love and his fair justice are both a motivation for him to be a person of personal integrity, but they are also, in a sense, an example of the kind of person he wants to be, a person of love and a person of justice. Here's the integrity of his personal life. I will pay attention, verse 2. I will pay attention to the way of integrity. When will you come to me? I will live with a heart of integrity in my house. I will not let worthless things come in front of my eyes. The word eyes and the word heart, by the way, are two things that are throughout this psalm. I will pay attention. I want you to notice the immediacy of that. We're talking about your character, your integrity. Not Tuesday, today. And the idea of paying attention is, I'm doing it right now. Pay attention. Focus on my character, on my integrity. Not someday. I'm going to pay attention right now. Yannick Sinner's in the finals of the tennis tournament in California today. Sinner is a unfortunate name. I appreciate that. Sinner is a man of no emotions on the court. You have other players that are all over the place emotionally. He's not emotional at all. In the quarterfinals, he was playing in a match, and you couldn't even see what was going on the television. But then he turned to some fans right there in the front row behind him, and he had some words for them. They must have been heckling him or something. The chair umpire said, Yannick, are you okay? And he ended the conversation. But as he's ending the conversation, you hear from the stands, it's his coach, and you hear him, his coach say, focus, pay attention. He caught something there on his player. He wasn't focusing. He wasn't paying attention. Now think of all the hecklers in your life. Think of all the distractions in your life that are going to tell you integrity, character, worry about that. To focus. Pay attention. Pay attention, he says, to the way of integrity. It's a way. It's a lifestyle. It's not okay. I was at Trinity on Sunday morning. Check that box. Got integrity covered. It's a path, it's a way, it's a lifestyle of integrity. Integrity, you know, means consistent, it means integrated, it means authentic, it means sincere. Look at his next line. I will live with integrity in my house. This is the king, before he's thinking about his palace, this is the king focusing the attention of his house, integrity in his family. Oh, to be able to say that. Let me ask you a question. In the privacy of your own home, who are you? Who are you? We know who you are here. How about in the privacy of your own home? We all know that, don't we? The home is the one place where you can't fool people about your character, about your Christianity, about your godliness. You can't. You can't fool anybody. It's interesting. That's why 1 Timothy 3, when the Apostle Paul starts describing the character qualities of church leaders, he talks about them having a home of godliness. It's more important for him, for a church leader, who they are than what they do. You see, because if I can't live out my Christianity in my home, I better not export it. If I can't live out my Christianity at home, maybe it's not the real thing. I will live with a heart of integrity in my house. And you think, yikes, wow. Start today. Start today. Don't get defeated. Start today. Time's a-wasting. Jack's telling you. Time happens. He says this interesting phrase in the middle of it. I will pay attention to my way of integrity. And then this question, when will you come to me? I don't know what he means by that, because it could even mean, he could even be talking to integrity, meaning, when will you come to me? The direct object is unclear. He's probably talking to the Lord, saying, I can't do this by myself, by the way, this way of integrity. When are you going to come and help me with this? Yes. We have a great ministry here led by the Strassbaughs and now by the Dodds called Divorce Care. And this week we were looking at a video talking about forgiveness. And one of the prayers of forgiveness, because it's, you know, it's really hard to forgive somebody that's betrayed you, whether you're divorced or married or anybody. It's hard. One of the prayers is to pray that you would be, God, give me the strength to be willing to forgive. Yeah, okay. God, I need your help. Not just to forgive, I just need your help to get off the dime and even be willing to do it. Okay, I need to move on, he said, looking at the clock. I will sing, I will sing, I will pay attention, I will live with a heart of integrity. Now comes some negatives, and I'll just read them. I will not let anything worthless come in front of my eyes. Some of you need that in bold print in front of your computer. I will not let the practice of transgression cling to me. Cling to me. Isn't that interesting? There's so much deviance in our world, and it's so easy to get caught up in that. I will not let the stench of transgression cling to me. You know when it does. Like cigarette smoke to a cheap polyester suit. It's there. Devious heart will be far. So today, presently, this is the present of my personal life. The overriding concern is integrity in my character now, right now. Okay, verses 5-8. presently spending time on my public life. David's now going to start talking about his cabinet. He's going to start talking about his influencers, those who would be jockeying for position in his cabinet as a king, who are putting on a good show in front of him. This isn't just for kings, by the way. This is for all of us. Who's influencing you? Who are you listening to? Watch what he says, verse 5. I will put to silence anyone who secretly slanders his neighbor. Ooh. Know anybody like that? Got anybody close to you that every time you hear them, they're slandering somebody? They're telling you what's wrong with Jim or Bill or Mary, or they're on Facebook or on some sort of social media slamming somebody. Don't let it happen. It'll be poison to your ears. I can't tolerate anyone with haughty eyes or an arrogant heart. The self-important who tell you how important and how powerful and how wonderful they are. Yuck. Maybe you're hiring somebody. Maybe you're just getting married. Maybe you're going to have a child and you're going to be a parent for the first time. Watch what's influencing you. That's what David's worried about. I cannot tolerate. What do you tolerate? What are you tolerating in your life? Be wary of the secret slanderer. Be wary of the self-important one. Be wary of the devious. Do this. And I'm looking at my time. It's already red. Did you know my time goes red? And that's... Either do this in your mind or do this on your outline of your bulletin because it's blank. Write your name in the middle of it. Got it? Put a circle around it. Outside that circle, I want you to think of 3, 4, 5 names that come to your mind that influence you. Could be friends, could be coworkers. How's it going? How's the influence? Okay, on the bottom of that circle, I don't want you to think of people, I want you to think of things that influence you. Whether it's the social media you can't get off of, or the books that you read, or the news that you listen to. Think of all the things that influence you. That's what David's worried about. He's the king of a kingdom. And if he's got the wrong influencers, his kingdom is going to stink. So will your parenting, and your marriage, and your Christian walk. Here's his positive one, verse 6. Do I have it there? Yeah, I do. Instead, I love this, and I'll just read it because the red is now bleeding. My eyes favor the faithful of the land. So they'll sit down, so they may sit down with me. What's he talking about? He's talking about as a king, as a leader. Who gets to sit with the king? The people with wise words. With lives of integrity. Are you letting those people in your life? The one who follows the way of integrity, that's the one that may serve me. How about you? All right, I'm going to start landing this plane. This was David's hope. This was David's desire right now to pursue a life of character and integrity. I don't know when he wrote it. Nobody does. But you know what? There came a point in his life when he failed. He failed miserably. We read Psalm 51 a couple of weeks ago. That's when he failed miserably. Had an affair with a lady taking a bath. He wanted integrity in his house. Ah! He was from his house looking at her. He wanted character in his palace. He ended up with a slew of evil ones. But eventually, David confessed to God of his own sin and his own duplicity. And yet, his plea for forgiveness was not, you know, I had really good intentions. His plea for forgiveness was not, I tried to be a really good king. His plea, you read Psalm 51 and remember the first verse of this psalm. His plea was this, Lord, please forgive me for your faithful love is everlasting. That's the only chip in the poker game he's got. God's faithful love, God's character. Remember the song that it started with? I'm singing a song of faithful love and justice. And guess what? God's faithful love is still available, longing for your heart. And his justice, he's still a God of justice. He's not a God of, ah, shucks, go do whatever you want and I'll love you. He's a God of justice, but that justice, boosh, in the shape of a cross. So that God took my duplicity and my sin and he poured it out on his son because he so loved me and he gave his son for my life and yours too. And now all he asks is that I prioritize character and integrity with my life. Okay. Here's how we're ending. Three questions. And I'm praying. Take these to heart. This is today. Presently. Will you prioritize a quiet excellence of integrity in your personal life? Presently. Secondly. Will you seek to align your public and private life? Oh, by God's grace, if we could just exhibit integrity, not only here when we're looking at each other, but in our homes, at our jobs, our private and our public lives. Are consistent. There's no duplicity. And thirdly, have you looked to Christ? Have you confessed your duplicity to him? And will you allow him to help you be a person of consistent integrity? Take a picture of that if you want. Mull on it. But mull on it today. Don't put it off. After this service, as always, we have elder prayer. Something in the word this morning has stirred your heart. Come forward. Georgianne and Glenn would be honored to pray. All right, let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would use the words of King David, the desire of King David, to be a person of integrity and emboss that on my conscience, on my heart, on my mind. May these three questions continue with me today. May my public life and my private life align with a heart of integrity. Thank you for Christ, who experienced your justice for my sin, who through his Spirit promises to empower me to live a life of character. And when I fall, to pick me back up again. In Jesus' name I pray.